Did you see it? Did you see that video of those two little Jewish children in Sderot, trembling in fear of the rockets fired at them? They were in their bomb shelter there. We're almost three-quarters of a century after Auschwitz, and these kids were trembling like Jewish kids in Holland and hiding. Anna Frank lives. Shalom liyudim, shalom libnei Noach, shalom legoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Parashas Toldos, Tavshin Pei 5780, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 28 November 2019. Webcasting from the homeland of Jewish people, still the target of homicidal maniacs consumed with their hatred of Jews, who they believe are the root of all evil. And Israel is paralyzed. Utter incompetence. The alleged superpower of the Middle East, the big bully of their victims, the Arab Muslims, are incapable of stopping these barbarians in Gaza from doing this. Incapable. Most of my conscious life, Gaza has been a part of it. Let's see, in 1956, as a fifth grader in elementary school, during current events time, when the exercise was bringing into class something from the newspapers, and it was my turn, and this was in the last days in October or early November, when Israel, 1956, with England and France, went to war against Egypt. In English, it was called the Sinai Campaign, which included overrunning the Gaza Strip. In Hebrew, we call it Mitzvah Kadesh, Operation Kadesh, a notable location in Sinai, we read about in the five books. I, of course, had little understanding as a 10-year-old of what Israel was, except that it was Jewish. I knew nothing of the Gaza Strip. We once lived about a mile from a single runway airstrip for light planes, and so I imagined this strip was like that, a long concrete runway of a place on which the Arabs lived, pitching their tents on concrete. 9 years later, accidentally, so to speak, I spent some months in Kibbutz Ni'am that abuts the Gaza Strip, and sometimes on Shabbat, the Nahal Army unit of boys and girls, soldiers, stationed there, would walk over to the fence with its guard towers, manned by UN peacekeeping soldiers, with me tagging along, to drink beer and socialize with them. The fence was nothing to duck under. The soldiers were all Scandinavians, and I was amazed how blonde they all were. Some evenings, the same boy and girl soldiers, with me tagging along, would leave the kibbutz and walk over to Sderot to sit in the cafe and drink some coffee and chat. Sderot then was still very much a construction site, a settlement town for mostly Moroccan refugees. The 650,000 Jewish refugees who ran to Israel in 1948 and another wave in 1956 as a result of the Sinai campaign and the independence of Morocco and Tunisia were no better off on arrival than the 590,000 Arabs registered in 1949 as refugees from our War of Independence. These Jews also went into refugee camps here, the Ma'abarot, we call them, the tent and Quonset huts, and it took 25 years to get the last of these refugees out of the camps and into solid housing with a job and a school and a shopping center. More accurately, what happened is that most of the Jews over time were left, but some stayed behind, and all the time improving, little by little, the little space they had, and created livable, solid housing, so that in the end, they didn't want to leave, and the camp was rezoned as a residential community, for those who never left and were content with the homes they had built. About these refugees, the world says nothing, and received nothing from the UN, unlike the 70% of the Muslims in Gaza, who to this very day live on the UN dole, and never suffer a manpower shortage when they feel most religious and believe it's good to fire rockets at Jewish homes in Sderot. Did you see this video that went viral of these trembling, terrified little Jewish children, terrified by homicidal goyim trying to kill them? And after watching this video, a few seconds of it really, I felt that I would not object if every aircraft in the Israeli Air Force, capable of dropping bombs, firing guns at the ground, if they were all armed and took off to pass over Gaza, single file, hundreds of them, blasting a strip down the middle of the strip, say a mile wide, Think of Sherman's treatment of the rebel state of Georgia during the American Civil War. Think of the burning of Atlanta. I am raging at these Arabs in Gaza who are on a moral plane with Nazis. And I'm furious with the state of Israel that does not know how to deal with this endless demoniacal torture of Israeli Jews in Sderot and environs. Sderot, originally created for Jews fleeing Arab-Muslim violence against them in faraway Morocco and really all across the Arab world just because they were Jews. The Arabs in these countries, not all of them, but some of them, felt they had the right in their countries to react to the defeat of their brethren in Palestine in 1948 by murdering Jews at random, raping, looting, burglarizing. Not many Arabs, but enough to terrorize 650,000 Jewish people out of these countries in the knowledge they would be going into these miserable transit camps in Israel. My book cites some of the known pogroms across the Arab world in this period. Yeah, Gaza has been a part of my life, almost all my life. This old faithful of a piece of real estate, endlessly gushing Ishmael clones who get paid to launch rockets at Jews in their homes is devout. Watching this video of those trembling Jewish children, I wanted to say to Gaza, all of you can go to hell, and say to Israel's leaders across the board, you haven't got a germ of an idea how to stop this modern-day version of terrorizing Jews like those thrown into the Colosseum to be sliced up by gladiators or eaten by lions for the amusement of those goyim in Rome. Here we are, a startup nation, the new Silicon Valley, world leader in computer science and military science and medicine, who appear least wise to me to be living in a dream world. Naftali Bennett, tough guy, as the new defense minister, has boldly decided not to return the bodies of the homicidal Muslim Arabs we kill in self-defense, and certainly not so long as they refuse to return the remains of our boys, return them to their families, these sadistic bastards. But tough guy Naftali also supports the government's ongoing negotiations with Hamas for a long-term relationship without violence. Bennett was reported today to support giving economic benefits to Gaza on two conditions: that the money they receive will not come from Israel, and every rocket launch will be answered. The good news yesterday was that for the third Friday in a row, tomorrow, there will be no violence at the Gaza barrier, and separately, the IDF will now allow Gaza's fishermen to go out 15 nautical miles. This week as well, another Qatari bagman showed up after conferring with Israeli officials and handed out $100 in Gaza to families in need. I guess thousands of them. In Barbary pirate days, the local pasha would receive petitioners in his court on certain days, all of them basically asking for a handout, and he would oblige by having a slave hand out coins. Likewise, Saddam Hussein, no less, would sometimes receive petitioners, and he would hand out the cash from a stack of bills sitting next to him. He was reported to have $1 billion in notes in his palace. The Israeli way of dealing with Gaza is that of a businessman. Money is the solution. Improving the economic situation in Gaza will buy peace. In Barbary days, this was called the tribute. Either pay the pashas of the North African port cities, or see one's merchant ships captured and the people aboard enslaved. And that is what the situation here is much about. Israel allows itself to be mugged and believes this is the way to deal with the Muslims in Gaza. Only history proves that is a false notion, because it never buys true peace. It's a way of life for these Arab Muslims, so many of them perfectly at ease with murdering Jews as a good thing to do. Thomas Jefferson learned this during his 5 years in Europe, when he was constantly trying to and failing to liberate American hostages in Algiers. And this was a decade before he became president and later famous for launching the mission to the shores of Tripoli. In his years in Paris, he read up on Islam, bought a translation of the Quran, discussed the situation with European diplomats, and asked how their countries managed their relations with the Muslimin on the Barbary shore, and concluded it was not possible to put an end to this behavior. on the part of the Muslimin without an intelligent military strategy, which did not mean an aggressive war, but a variety of siege warfare, a blockade of these ports from which Muslim cruisers set sail to capture and loot and enslave. Jefferson wanted America to build a navy. It had none in those years, because he wanted a naval blockade that might have to be sustained for 40 years until a new generation of Muslimin grew up who knew nothing of sailing. A blockade would force them as well to give up maritime private piracy as a way of living and learn to become farmers, for Jefferson understood that while inland from the Mediterranean there was a great desert, the coast was fertile enough for farming. Jefferson, the social theorist, puzzled why it was it that the climate and soil was not that different from Southern Europe, Mediterranean, Spain, France, and Italy, but the Muslimin did not practice agriculture like the Europeans, but chose instead a life of seagoing brigandage.
הולך לעירי לפגוש את אבי אני הולך לעירי לראות את אמי אני הולך ליפול על צווארי אחי זמן ארוך שחלף ועבר סחף אותי כמו נהר אני הולך לעירי פוסע לאיתי עוצר את הדמעות שעולות בגרוני תרמיל קטן וצידה ליווני בצייתי ועכשיו בליבי מתנגן ניגון חדש שאספתי בדרכי לא שהשתניתי לא שהתרחקתי לא עזבתי בגלל מחלוקת לא חזרתי לעשות שלום לא איני בורח אולי זה רק הריח, אותו הריח שניסה ברוח והוא מחזירני לכאן היום חתול קופץ בסמטה, המכולת נסגרה דוד חיים קצת הזדקן, מחייך חזרה איך יכולתי לחשוב שבדרך אתחרט ועכשיו אני נכנס בשלווה לרחוב הזה שתמיד כל כך שקט לא שהשתניתי, לא שהתרחקתי לא עזבתי בגלל מחלוקת לא חזרתי לעשות שלום לא איני בורח אולי זה רק הריח אותו הריח שניסה ברוח והוא מחזירני לכאן היום יושב עכשיו במטבח עם מי מכינה לא קפה משובח אך אין כמו שלה נכנס אבי מתיישב שואל שוב על כיוון הלב אך לא תמיד יש סימון בשבילים של אמצע המסע שהתרחקתי אדם חכם בדרכי אמר לי בית נבנה מאבני המקום לא מעבר ים לא תמצא על הר גבוה ואז הבנתי את מה שיום אחד כתבו שם על הקיר האדם הוא עולם קטן והעולם הוא אדם גדול ועלה שוב אותו הריח אותו הריח שניסה ברוח והוא החזירה לי לכאן
Yes, the Israelis hit back every time the Muslims in Gaza fire rockets at us. The alleged ceasefire of a week or so ago, I think it was ceasefire number 345.6, that has not stopped the rocket fire completely. One a day, two a day. Iron Dome knocks down what it can. But nothing has stopped the sirens from wailing and scaring little Jewish boys and girls to death. With Israel, the startup nation, clueless. Yes, the IDF hits back and destroys more inert objects and sometimes a few dozen jihadis, but so what? On the home front, the political paralysis continues. The good news is that in this political season, the anti-Bibiites say nothing of the sacred two-state solution favored by world anti-Jewry. Even the left has no spirit to call for that. Not when their standard-bearer, Benny Gantz, has gone public with his 1967-style Alon Plan claim to the Jordan River Valley as permanently Israeli territory, no matter what. But if so, one also needs sovereignty over the roads leading to the valley. Israelis like Gantz never play out what it means to keep the valley, which logistically must lead to claiming all of Judea and Samaria as legitimately, legally, and morally ours. It was welcome news, the policy shift in Washington about our right to live in Judea and Samaria. And one can only long for the day Israelis will recognize the identical right for Gaza. Our right to Judea and Samaria is rooted in the League of Nations mandate, and no less the territory of what today is called the Gaza Strip, that no Israeli fights for. The government surely does not, in its relation to Gaza, it wants to pay the tribute, it wants to buy peace. And Jefferson's investigation taught him this was no solution to the aggression. What Israel needs to do and should do, so long as President Trump is in office, is follow up this policy shift with one of their own, declaring the people in Gaza have a choice. They can either end these horrific, satanic, nightmarish rocket attacks and live in peace, or in 2 years' time, we will cease supplying the Strip with everything they need, stop sending in hundreds of semi-trailers every day, stop supplying electricity, water too, I think, enough. We should declare nothing will change if the rockets do not stop. We will continue with the support we provide for 2 years, and then we will turn off the lights in Gaza of the Philistines. Israel will no longer tolerate these rocket attacks and no longer abase ourselves by sustaining the Arab Muslims who fire these rockets at us. Enough already. I think one piece of Israel's paralysis stems from its corruption. It's too busy enjoying being the startup nation, going to the mall, buying new cars, vacations abroad. It's a scandal that Israel permits this torture of Jews. That is what every one of these rocket attacks is all about. Obviously, with Iron Dome and private and public shelters, very few Jews have been injured by the rockets directly, but surely after 2 decades, there have been hundreds of cases of people going into shock and being raced off to hospital. And a whole generation of children have had a childhood punctuated by the terror of the sirens. With every attack, we hear also of people racing for shelters, falling and injuring themselves. In a very real way, the fire and flames of World War II for Jews never really went out. As in 1945, there are still millions of people who hate us and do not object to the torture of the rockets, and would be happy to see us all killed, God forbid. Recently, in England, George Galloway, another English Jew hater like Jeremy Corbyn, said he opposed anti-Semitism, meaning abusing Jews in England, but said Galloway, there is nothing wrong with hating Israelis. In effect, the irrational hatred that has always fueled crazed Jew haters like him has now been transferred to Israel, focuses on Israel. Hating Israel is the new Jew hatred. Maybe you saw this week's interview with the blatantly corrupted by his eternal hatred of Jews, Jeremy Corbyn. 4 times he refused to apologize for the no longer endowed anti-Semitism in his Labour Party. Just like Ilhan Omar and foreign ministries around the world on January 27th, Corbyn insists he's opposed to anti-Semitism, but as one of many such hatreds is the implication, the subtext is that the Jews are not the chosen people. They're not chosen for a special strain of hatred. They deserve no special concern, and in any case, hating Israel has nothing to do with anti-Semitism and its outlandish charges of conspiracies. Israel deserves to be hated for crucifying the Neo-Philistines. Haters like Corbyn and their ilk are at war with the Jewish people, now in another war with the foreigners in Gaza. As the Philistines were also foreigners, whose very name tells us they were foreign invaders, from the verb to invade, Corbyn and company want us to lose big time. They want us to come down from the high ground that we took away from the sons of Ishmael in 1967, Judea and Samaria. And we should let the Neo-Philistines take over there. This is called the two-state solution that 107 Democrats in Congress just called for in opposition to Pompeo's announcement of a new policy. The Democratic Party has come a long way from being a staunch supporter of Israel. President Harry Truman recognized the state right away against the desire of his anti-Jew Secretary of State George Marshall. Bobby Kennedy became a warm supporter of Israel when in 1948 he worked as a foreign correspondent in Israel during the War of Independence, and 20 years later, to the same month, was assassinated for leading the Senate in support for selling Phantom jets to Israel after the Six-Day War. Lyndon Johnson, no less, was a supporter of Israel. Well, generations come and generations go, and when AIPAC prefers Obama over Bibi, when the Democrats actually supported that Clinton woman, the Democrat Party has become sclerotic and unhinged. When their leaders in Congress are Pelosi, Schiff, Nadler, when their current slate of aspiring presidential candidates are a string of oddballs and losers, the Democratic Party has become as degenerate as the decadent culture it has nurtured over the last half century. In 1967, even the radical left was pro-Israel in the run-up to the Six-Day War. There was no romance yet with the Third World and Islam. To quote Bob Dylan from that time, today, the times, they are a-changin'. Thank you. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, here on the home front, when daily the news exposes more ugliness among our politicians, Benny Gantz committed a public act of identification with the Israeli left that has beatified Yitzhak Rabin, who brought down on this people the nightmare years of the Oslo abomination. And simultaneously, he smears Binyamin Ben-Ben-Zion Netanyahu with guilt for incitement, as if he subtly encouraged opponents of Oslo to assassinate Rabin. This could not be more dishonest. Even if Bibi wanted that to happen in his heart of hearts, he was never that stupid as to incite, even in the subtlest ways. It's an accusation as stupid and irrational as it is dishonest and ugly. Gantz said the current political situation risks igniting an internal war between us. In the face of Netanyahu's calls of incitement and hate, I stand before you in the name of many people from right and left and tell you it's time to heal Israeli society, close quote. What low-level rhetoric, political and social baloney. Then he also said that, quote, the man who led a harsh and painful incitement campaign against Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, a campaign that ended in a terrible national disaster, should well know the dangerous price of words that could, for heaven forbid, turn into deadly bullets, close quote. This is revolting. It's very Saul Alinsky, Hillary's guiding light, who taught her that against a political opponent one can say anything to diminish him in the eyes of his supporters and the electorate. The allegations need not be true. The purpose is to smear him and sow doubt as to his integrity. The charges could be true, you know. The Rabin family has this religious belief that Netanyahu, in opposition to Yitzhak's peace genius, hinted to his supporters to kill Yitzhak, which accusation, I think, is their psychological defense against the truth. That while Yigal Amir was guilty of killing this one man, Rabin was responsible for the deaths of more than 1,000 Jews by his boneheaded adoption of the crank theories of Dr. Balin and his mentor, St. Simon of Oslo, who by their foolish and anti-Semitic support for the Muslim Fatah Jew killers, because they did not know that Fatah was not, as they imagined, a secular nationalist organization, but a chapter title in the Quran that encourages and praises dissembling, a phony desire for peace in order to deceive the enemy. The hatred of Bibi as an inciter of Yitzhak's assassination is, I think, a distraction away from facing the reality that it was Yitzhak Rabin who was responsible for all the horrors that followed, bringing into the country tens of thousands of Fatah terrorists. Gantz accused Netanyahu this week of egging people on towards civil war, brother against brother, and I say this is enough for me. I had never had much of an impression about Benny Gantz, but now I see he identifies with the least savory of Israelis. His campaign for a secular Israel puts him in the same camp as the mayor of Tel Aviv, Ron Huldai, who, by the way, now has to face a fleet of angry taxi drivers whose most lucrative days have been the Sabbath, and now complain of what I pointed out at the beginning of this aggression against classical Jewishness, public transport on the Sabbath. They are not complaining about the violation of the Sabbath, which is what they do. They're complaining that the service is free, and thus is cutting into their accustomed level of income, big time. I said when I first heard about this nasty plan that the fact of its being free, paid for by taxpayers of Tel Aviv, was an indication of its crusading purpose against Jewishness, encouraging Jews to violate the Sabbath. Hanukkah is coming up this month, which holiday commemorates a war that began not against the Syrian Greeks, but as a civil war between Jews, between those who wanted to continue living as Jews and those who wanted to live like Syrian Greeks. It began as a civil war, an internal war, in Gantz's words, as the Democrats accused Trump of being a Russian agent when they were the Russian agents. So Benny Gantz accuses Bibi of inciting to civil war. Well, that's his crime.
כל מקדש ויקרא הוא לא כל שומר שבת קדת מחללו שכרו הרבה מאוד על פי פועלו איש על מחנה ואיש על דקלו אוהבי השם המחכים בבעניין אריאל ביום השבת קודש תיסו ושמחו כי אם קו למטה נחל אייל גם זהו ידיכם קודש ואימרו לכל ברוך השם אשר נתן מנוח אשר נתן מנוחה, אשר נתן מנוחה לעם ישראל. דור שהשם זה אברהם אוהבו, המאחרים לצאת מן השבת וממהרים לבוא, שמחים לשמרו ולערב ערובו זה היום עשה השם נגילה 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 ונשמחה בו זכרו תורת משה במצוות שבת גרוסה חרות על היום השביעי כחלה בין ריאותיה משובצה תהורים ירשוה ויקדשוה במאמר כל אשר עשה ויחל אלוקים ביום השביעי מלאכתו 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 אשר עשה יום קדוש הוא מבו ועד צאתו כל זרע יעקב יכבדו כי דבר המלך ודעתו לנוח בו ולשמוח בתענוג החול ושעתו כל עדת ישראל יעשו אותו, יעשו אותו, יעשו אותו. משוך, 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 חסדך ליודעך, כלכנה ונוקם, נותר אל היום השביעי, זכור ושמור להקם שמכם בבניין שלם באור פניך, באור פניך, באור פניך תביקם עיר ויון מדשן ביתך ונחל ונחל, ונחל, עד הנחל תשכם. עזור, 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 לשובתים בשביל, בחריש ובקציר עולמים, פה עושים אופציה קטנה, צועדים באו לברך שלוש פעמים. צדקתם תצהיר, צדקתם תצהיר, כאור שבעת הימים. השם אלוקי ישראל, אהבת דמים, אהבת דמים. השם אלוקי ישראל, שבועת עולמים.
Okay, that's it for this Thursday, for this week, and I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yehuda.